This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
State Senator Cree Deeds joins us on the line from Richmond. Good afternoon, Cree. How are you doing, sir?
Coy, I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. I know you're very busy and from one meeting to the next, so we appreciate you taking some time to chat with the folks here in Central Virginia. We wanted to, right off the bat, let's just talk about Senate Joint Resolution 352. Yeah. Give us the background. Congratulations.
A bill like that has probably been introduced hundreds of times by Democrats and Republicans. I think Ken Plum, delegate from Fairfax County, is the first one who introduced a similar resolution in 1978. The details we can go into in a little bit, but in general, the bill sets up a nonpartisan redistricting commission. It's drawn from the New Jersey model for the commission. It uses the Iowa criteria that sets forth some pretty radical notions like people have to come first over the interest of politicians. And the reason these bills have never gone forward, under when Democrats were in control or now when Republicans are in control, is that politicians have to rise above self-interest. Because, you know, whoever's going to draw the lines is going to draw it to favor their side. And that's been the history, and that's why 12 states have these nonpartisan redistricting commissions. These bills have always died before in committee. Well, last week, for the first time in the history of these sorts of bills, and I've been introducing them for 6 years, the bill got out of committee, and on Monday, I ended up picking up 6 Republican votes and got the bill passed. I picked up 7 Republican votes.
It is amazing, and you're absolutely correct to say that this is history, and thanks to your leadership, this is moving through. What do you think turned the tide in the Senate?
Well, honestly, it's a matter of simple math. You know, there are Republican legislators who privately over the years, and I've worked very, very hard over the years to develop relationships with Democrats and Republicans, because the fact of the matter is Republicans can control the majority in the legislature, and to get things done, you've got to be able to get votes from the other party. So I've worked hard to develop relationships. When Mark Herring was elected to the state Senate from Loudoun County, Democrats picked up a seat on privileges and elections. The bill died. The last time it came up for a vote was 2 years ago. It died on a 7-7 vote. I had a Republican vote, Ken Stolle from Virginia Beach. So now I picked up a vote. I went to Russ Potts and I said, Russ, I really need your help on this bill. And he looked at it and he supported it. So once I got it out of committee, enough people over the years have said to me, this just makes sense. It's the right thing to do. I knew that I could pick up a few votes, and I went to people like John Watkins and Marty Williams, and I got Ken Cuccinelli and Harry Blevins. John Chichester in the end voted for it. I mean, I knew there were votes out there. It was going to be tough, and Tommy Norman debated me on the issue for a few minutes, but the bottom line is I've carried this bill for 6 years. I've thought through all the arguments, so they couldn't really trip me up on any specific point. It was a lot of fun. But it still goes to the House now.
Let's talk about the process. I mean, I do want to just take a moment to say that this is, I congratulate you on this. I know this has got to be personally incredibly gratifying, something you've been trying to do that you know is the right thing for Virginia. You've been trying to make this happen for so many years, and to get it out of the Senate and actually send this thing on is very exciting for all of us.
It sends a signal to people that politicians will rise above self-interest, will put their constituents first, and that this isn't a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's about people. You know, all you have to do is look at the way the districts are drawn. For crying out loud, you know, I'm proud to represent Charlottesville. I'm proud to be in the state Senate. But, you know, redistricting ought to be about holding communities of interest together. It ought to be about compactness and contiguous, you know, holding districts together as holding communities together as clearly as they can be. When I rose and argued this thing, I said, listen, the district I represent is probably going to disappear as it currently constitutes. I'm the one of all 40 that will have the least likely chance to return to the Senate should I still desire after the next redistricting, should I still, you know, hold myself out for election. But you know, it's the right thing to do, and it was extremely gratifying.
What's amazing, Cree, Virginia State Senator Cree Deeds, our guest, what's amazing is, as American kids in school, we all learn about gerrymandering.
Yep.
And we all know as children that this is wrong.
Yep.
So to see our state governments continuing to practice this thing, it's wrong.
Well, it's as old as the Republic, though. You know, it was named for one of the founding fathers in New England. So it's not. Well, I think he was actually from Pennsylvania, but it was it's as old as the Republic. But people shouldn't just accept that because it's as old as the Republic, because they've always done it that way, they should do it that way. There's a better way. In Iowa, they use a criteria that says the only demographic to be considered is population, not how a district favors one party or the other, not where the incumbent lives, not past election results. I mean, and what you end up with out there, Coy, is that every congressional seat is competitive. Every one, the winner gets less than 55% of the vote. Voters actually have choices in more elections, and democracy is better served that way. Democracy is better served when people have choices.
And we should have a Virginia where the voters choose our legislators and not the other way around.
Well, that's right. What you end up with districts like this, like ones that have been drawn, is districts where the electeds effectively choose their electorate. You know, the districts are drawn either strongly Democratic or strongly Republican. What the district I'm proud to represent, you know, what they did is they put precincts together in a way to try when Emily Kirk was in the seat, because they knew they couldn't beat her. They wanted to put as many Democratic precincts in her district as possible, and thereby make the districts that surround her more Republican. And I'm the beneficiary of that district, so I guess. I work it as hard as I can, but honestly, quite often there are differences between and views between one end of the district and the other, and I guess that's always going to be the case. But if you can take the partisanship out of redistricting, you're going to end up with districts that are more compact and contiguous, and where communities and interests are held together, I think.
Senator Cree Deeds is our guest. What's the process from here on out? Where do we go from here?
The bill goes to the House, where it'll be assigned to Privileges and Elections and probably to a subcommittee. Rob Bell's on Privileges and Elections. I talked to him about it this morning. In the House of Delegates, they've killed, in P&E, they've killed I think about 9 bills that are similar to this. I don't know if any was exactly like this, but they've killed a bunch of bills like this. I went to Rob Bell. I went to several other Republican legislators over there that I consider good friends, and I said, I hope you'll look at this with a fresh set of eyes. You know, it's the right thing. Your colleagues, Republicans in the Senate, voted for it. And honestly, you know, I'm realistic enough to know that they're probably going to kill this bill. But honestly, I've got to look at it with some optimism. You know, I've gotten further than such a bill has ever gotten before in Virginia, and I'm going to believe that I can get it out of the House. I just have to work hard.
Are they politically? Would it be smart to kill this bill during an election year?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Coy. There are a whole lot of bills that people care about, but, you know, any opinion survey you take out there, the issues that drive people to vote, this is probably not going to be one of those issues. It's going to be further down the list after you make sure that people have enough jobs, enough good-paying jobs in an area, after you focus on education and transportation. This is going to be pretty far down the list, so I don't know that it's really going to affect that people are going to have election year jitters about voting against this, but it's just the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, my hope is that the folks in the House of Delegates will see it that way.
Senator Cree Deeds is our guest. Let's talk about some other issues.
Sure.
What's your take on the transportation proposal the Republican leadership put forth last week, which we learned just, I guess, in an article yesterday, Christina Knuckles reports that it's already starting to fray.
Well, it's starting to fray for a lot of reasons, but, you know, I'm glad that they came forward with something. They recognize that there's a transportation dilemma in various parts of the state, that the solution not only has to be statewide, you know, it has to be statewide, number one. Number two, the problems are particularly bad in Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia, and that it makes sense to layer a statewide plan with two regional plans. Having said that, if you look at the financing mechanisms of this plan, they just don't seem to make sense. They're putting the burden on localities to raise the money by creating a differential between commercial real estate and privately held or residential real estate, you know, most people fuss at me more often about their property taxes. They don't fuss about other taxes in Virginia so much as they do about the real estate tax rates. So we're looking at real estate as a source of revenue for to build roads and to maintain roads. They're looking at borrowing money, 20-year notes to borrow money for the statewide plan, and they're also raiding the general fund. You know, I'm glad a proposal's out there. I hope that I have the chance to work with people to make the proposal more workable, but I don't think the financing mechanisms here are frankly to make a lot of sense. But I'll say this. They continue to write and rewrite. We have not yet seen a bill yet. We've not seen a bill. Last Friday was the day, was the deadline for introduction of bills. Well, this bill hadn't been delivered yet. It's been written and rewritten, I guess constantly since last Friday. I'm on the Transportation Committee in the Senate. The bills, the three bills in the Senate, they've all been assigned to the Transportation Committee. We were informed today that a special subcommittee is going to be created to look at these bills, but that they won't, those people, that subcommittee won't even have a chance to look at the bills probably until next week. And, you know, we're running out of time. We got about 30 days left in this session.
Senator Cree Deeds is our guest. Cree, we noticed this morning that a subcommittee killed every minimum wage increase bill in the House. What's the situation in the Senate?
Well, there's at least, I think, one or two bills in the Senate. I think, you know, I'd like to think that people will look at that with you know, a different set of eyes, and they will try to reason through the need why it's important that people make enough money to at least minimally be able to support their family. But you know, I don't know how that'll go. I'm not on that committee. Those bills, I think, are in the Senate Commerce and Labor Committee.
Let's talk about the State Bill 1131. It deals specifically with the city of Charlottesville and regarding a housing fund to assist low and moderate income earners.
You know, that we had that bill in committee yesterday or day before, and the bill is still alive, but it's somewhat. There are some folks who are kind of concerned about the workability of the bill, and frankly, I'm trying to hold together a group of people that include the home builders and people from around the state that are concerned about the application of the bill, not just to Charlottesville, but statewide. What I did, David Toscano and I intended to introduce the very same bill. We sent our bill request to Division of Legislative Services, and the requests were signed to two different drafters. My bill came out with statewide application, or my bill came out, I think, specific to Charlottesville. No, David's came out specific to Charlottesville. Mine came out with statewide application. David's bill was closer to what Charlottesville wanted, so I had my bill redrafted to affect Charlottesville. Well, that ran into some hot water yesterday, and we need to do some work.
And what would the bill do? Clarify it for us.
What the bill would do would allow basically the city to incentivize, create a fund, and would allow the city to create incentives for developers, for builders to create affordable housing for low income families and individuals.
So it would open the door for a public private partnership to make Charlottesville more affordable.
It would. I mean, that's the simple part of it. The builder's concern is that a provision of the bill basically allows or requires structures of more than four stories to have these, you know, to have some affordable units. And a builder's concern is when they're building, it's very difficult when you go up above more than a few floors to cut your costs back and be able to create an affordable unit on, say, the fifth or sixth floor.
We're also looking at the bills you're carrying here on RichmondSunlight.com. State Bill 891 deals with tuition for the children of faculty and staff.
Yeah. And I introduced that bill, and it was rolled into one that John Edwards had. That John's on the committee. Those bills were introduced at the request of the state faculty senate. The idea being that it's difficult to attract and retain the best faculty, you know, we haven't kept up in many respects with our pay of faculty compared to the schools and peer groups, particularly of schools like the University of Virginia, William & Mary. And this bill would allow schools to create funds to give tuition breaks to children of faculty members. The bills were rolled together last week, I think, and they came up in full committee this morning. I was not down there when they were when the bill was going to be reported and re-referred to the Finance Committee just to see what the fiscal impact was, but I'm not certain. I wasn't in the committee this morning.
Virginia State Senator Cree Deeds, our guest. I want to thank you again. I know you're very busy and you're literally going from one meeting to the next, so I appreciate the time and thank you again for your service to the Commonwealth and all the good work you do.
Thanks very much, Coy.
Take care.
See you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. And you'll also hear some juicy bits at wina.com 1070 on demand.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.